There are several gospel stories about Jesus sending disciples out long before his death and resurrection. In this case, it's the 12. In other gospels, it's 72. Some gospels even have both the 12 and the 72. And so in each of those cases, Jesus gives them certain instructions about what they're to wear, what they're to take with them, what they're not to have, those kinds of things. But I think it's important that Jesus did that, and since it's attested to in 3 out of the 4 Gospels, it's probably historical. I think because Jesus wanted them to understand ahead of time that their lives, their identity, was as missionaries. And they are participating in the mission of Christ himself. And Christ differs from other rabbis in his time. Rabbis and various teachers, they would establish a school, and they would be in one place, and wise and intelligent young people would come and find them and then stay there with them and study under them. You never see that in the Gospels about Jesus. Jesus is an itinerant preacher. He's always on the move. You see various stories where people want him to stay in their village, and he says, no, I have to move on to the next village. Jesus is always looking for the disciples. He isn't waiting for them to find him. He goes out in search. And he searches particularly not for the wise and intelligent ones, but for the lost. The 12 are not the bright intelligentsia of the day. They're fishermen, they're tax collectors, they're former sinners, you know. Jesus is searching out the lost, the blind, the lame, and of course, sickness was considered in those days to be associated with sin, so in other words, he's going out for the sinners. So Jesus tells his disciples, I want you to go out and do the same thing. I don't want you to establish schools, permanent places. I want you to be on the move. And so that's symbolized by the walking stick. They're allowed to take a walking stick with them. Now, in biblical terms, walking sticks are for long journeys. You see in the Exodus and those various historical books that Moses carried a walking staff, and it's the staff that he touches the Red Sea with and it parts. It's the same staff that then Joshua, his successor, uses to touch the Jordan River so that it stops flowing and they cross on dry land into the promised land. So those people wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, 40 years is a biblical lifetime. So in other words, they spent their lives pilgrimaging, journeying toward the promised land. So Jesus wants his disciples to go out and get on the move and take a walking stick because this is your life. This isn't a short journey you're going to be taking. This is the journey of your whole life. So be prepared with a walking stick. Another interesting detail in the way Mark tells this story is he tells them to wear sandals. They don't take an extra tunic. They're supposed to be their baggage should be light. Don't have a traveling bag, but wear sandals. This is kind of peculiar because in Jesus' day, most of the known world didn't wear shoes at all. They had very calloused feet, and most people walked barefoot. But if you're barefoot, even though your feet are heavily calloused and you can get most places, you could pick up a thorn or a sharp rock or a piece of glass. And then you would have to recuperate so you couldn't stay on the move. In other words, Jesus is telling them that your mission is so urgent to announce the coming kingdom that I can't take the chance that you would get a thorn in your foot and have to stop. So wear shoes so that you can keep on the journey. Well, this is our life, isn't it? This is our identity. We are all missionaries. Every time we celebrate Mass here, we end by saying in Latin, ite missa est, which means literally in English, go, you have been sent. And Misa is the root word of missionary. So we're all sent out here every time from Mass to be missionaries, to take up this journey that the disciples are describing in that gospel today. And Paul fleshes that out a bit by talking about our call from before the foundation of the world to be members of Christ, to be so tied to Him that we are Him, that we are His body. And then there are all these idealistic descriptions. Live holy and blameless lives in His sight. Well, the first thing that occurs to us is, holy and blameless? Are you kidding? You know, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm not that saintly. How can I be living a holy and blameless life? I think one of the reasons the church celebrates saints is because in the lives of the saints, we see ordinary people just like you and me living extraordinary lives, living in the situation in which they find themselves and just simply doing the best they can at it. And life kind of throws things at us. We often find ourselves in surprising places. Most of us, you know, some of us are surprised to be living in Manhattan, Kansas. Some of us are surprised to be doing the occupation that we do. I went to a reunion here a few years back, and 80% of my class was not doing what their degree was in. You study one thing and you end up doing another, because life happens. And we sometimes find ourselves thrown around by life and thrown into situations and places and everything else that we weren't expecting. But we settle in and we do what's required of us. And we do the best we can. And that's what it means to be living holy and blameless lives. That's what it means to be living saints. Responding to the call to be members of Christ's body, willing to be missionaries in our own small way. After this Mass, we're all going to be sent out those doors, and most of what we do won't be flashy. It won't be memorable. Nobody's even going to notice, but we are going to change the world in our own small, little, insignificant ways, just because we are members of Christ's body, and just because we are who we are, where we are, doing what we do.